This is CliffCentral.com.
We're going to cross to Anthea Gardner, who of course gives us the money shot every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. She works hard for the money. Morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth. I can't imagine that there would have been so many versions of that song.
Oh, you have no idea. I got like 9,000 more that you haven't even heard yet.
Oh wow.
Now, how was your Mother's Day yesterday with your mom?
Oh, very nice. A bit of a family breakfast.
Nice.
And then I spent most of the afternoon working.
Excellent.
Really living up to my...
Excellent. At least someone was working yesterday.
No, but I'm in Cape Town and the weather's so nice. I can't actually believe it.
Yeah, because they had a very horrible cold snap just a couple of weeks ago. Now it seems that everything's okay down there again.
Yeah.
Very unfair.
Really beautiful. Timed it well, I have.
Mm. All right, so what do we need to know?
Okay, so very tough markets at the moment. The JSE was down over 1% on Friday. Mm. And so for the week, it closed 3% lower. All the indices except gold was lower on Friday. Resources was down 68 basis points. Financials 89. Poor industrials were down 1%. So like the Naspers of the world. Naspers actually really struggling to stay above 2,000 rand a share. It's now trading about 1,902 last traded. So for kind of year to date, it's down 7%. And for the year, it's only up 6%. So that 7% decline so far this year has taken kind of the wind out of Naspers' sales. I mean, longer term, it's still fine. The share's up 83% for the last 2 years, 300% for the five-year period. And I do think it'll get back to 2,200 rand a share, kind of that's as high as it's been. So, I'm hoping for a 15% increase, but...
There was a point in March where they reached very close to that.
Yes. So again, it's been quite volatile, you know, so all the way up and then all the way down, but just struggling, I think.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the weaker rand, because I think for a lot of people, we need to have a rand hedge strategy from here on in.
So this is the thing with last week, right? The rand was down 5% for the week, and you would think that a weaker rand, because the top 40 stocks, 70% of revenue is generated offshore. So if the rand weakens by 5%, it's very simplistically, you should expect to see a 3.5% increase in the value of these shares. So it's 5% times 70%, right? Mm-hmm. Because the companies are suddenly more valuable, they're generating more revenue when they translate it back into rands. But somehow this is just not working. And I've noticed on the last couple of weeks, this rand hedge strategy is not perfect. And what I'm thinking is that if the rand falls on global growth worries, weaker demand for resources, or general sell-off in emerging markets, so think China, then it's as if our market takes a knock and almost dismisses the rand, the weaker rand. But when the rand falls because of local drivers, such as politics, or on the back of a stronger developed market currency, such as the dollar, then suddenly our market tends to be quite resilient or buoyant almost.
Yeah.
So we're having to add another layer of analysis into this rand hedge strategy at the moment. I mean, so where are we now? I think it'll be interesting because we had US payroll numbers on Friday and they really disappointed. The market was expecting to see a print of 200,000, but only 160,000 jobs were created in April, which really is quite a bit less than the revised number for March, which was 208,000. They were also hoping for a decrease in the unemployment number, but it seems to be very sticky at 5%. And now the market is indicating that there's only a 4% chance that the Fed will raise interest rates in June. So in fact, there's almost a chance they might not increase interest rates this year at all. And that will translate into a weaker dollar, which will translate into a stronger rand for us. That's why I'm tying these two together, because again, if we're now expecting a stronger rand, what happens to our rand hedge strategy? It looks like it may not work perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have to watch very carefully this year.
All right. Well, we'll all have to be watching carefully then. just to go back to the markets for a second, Barclays, can we talk about them?
Oh, yes. They were actually the standout performer on Friday. They were up 1.4% in a negative market. That's quite something. And all the other banking shares were down. You know, financials were down almost 1%. So something's going on there. And I think what it is that because their dividend yield is now 7%, people are buying into the story. So like when we're talking about kind of where we're going with the South African market and how hard it is to print double-digit increases in share value, and you're getting a stock with 7% dividend yield, you'll take it. You're quite happy to take it. And then on Saturday, Bob Diamond, who is the guy trying to put together the consortium to buy mm-hmm. Barclays Group Africa, the ex-Barclays PLC or UK CEO, mm-hmm. he was speaking at the London Business School at an Africa Investment Summit and said that he wanted to build the premier financial services business in Africa. I mean, he's not dreaming small, is he?
No, it's pretty. It's a lofty ambition, but I like it.
So do I, actually. I'd really like to see someone build another strong African brand. You know, we had SAB, Safaricom, Dangote, De Beers, Anglo-American. So it would be nice to do that. Whether or not he can pull it off is probably a good question. He seems to think, and he's not the first to think this, that we could expect real growth out of Africa in the future. A couple of people have had their fingers burned, but if he can pull it off, why not, right?
Of people have their fingers burned, I mean, we're talking Standard Bank and MTN, and you know, there were all these tremendously positive predictions for how things would unfold in Africa. It hasn't gone exactly according to plan.
No, that's exactly it. It's kind of it has its moments of growth and then comes off, and when it comes off so much more than developed markets. It's that volatility thing, you know? So we have huge growth and then huge falls.
Right.
And that's the problem. Talk about big brands or big African, South African brands. SAB Miller, the story is a little bit never ending. The Competition Commission on Friday said that it had missed its deadline again. I think this is the third time now. Mm-hmm. And it's extended the deadline to May the 12th. Now, I get that this is a big transaction and it's very complicated, but the Australian Competition Commission have approved their part of the deal. The European Commission obviously are still working on it. And actually, you could see the European Commission haven't approved it, but definitely things are in play, which is why Anheuser-Busch sold off Peroni and Grolsch a couple of weeks ago. And I think, you know, SAB or Anheuser-Busch have already committed to the things that the Competition Commission wanted. So they've said that Anheuser-Busch are going to invest $66 million. Mm. They're not going to retrench anyone. They're going to support farmers, water purification, and all that. There's one thing that is interesting, though. It's the SAB Zenzele scheme, which is the BE vehicle they created in 2010. There's about 42,000 shareholders and it's employees of SAB. It's obviously SAB South Africa specific. 42,000 employees and includes kind of their distribution because they have this, distribution. So it's not SAB employees that are distributing the beer or driving the trucks. Kind of it's outsiders, you know, independents.
What do you call them? Outsourced people.
That's it. Right. There you go. Yes, right, thank you. And SAB has, in this time, since 2010, has already paid out 613 million rand in dividends to BE shareholders of this, what they call Zenzele scheme. AB InBev, I can't imagine them looking at it and going, well, what do you want us to do about it? Because I think SAB shareholders or the Zenzele shareholders are going, well, if you're an SAB shareholder, like a pure shareholder, like anybody can be, and there's no color differentiation in this,
right.
Anheuser-Busch will obviously pay you when they buy the company. They'll pay you in cash or they'll give you AB InBev shares, but not the Zenzele shares. And the Zenzele scheme matures in 2020, so it's got 4 more years to run. So can you see how complicated it becomes all of a sudden? It's not like Anheuser-Busch are just going to come in, buy your shares, and off they go. What are they going to do about these Zenzele shares, I think, is quite important.
Well, it sounds tremendously complicated. As if business isn't hard enough, then, you know, all of this stuff has to happen in the background too.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's really it's really just creating a lot of work for lawyers and for parastatal, for governments rather, not for parastatals, but for governments. Because suddenly we're having to put all kinds of things into play that really shouldn't be about anything but the market.
Exactly.
It's very complex.
It does make it very complicated.
Let's just cast our eyes overseas briefly for U.S. payroll numbers, because I know you were talking about them last week. How did they come in?
So this is the number I mentioned. They were expecting 200,000, but only 160,000 jobs were created in April. So the world's not growing, or the U.S. in this case, is not growing as quickly as we would like it. The impact is that there could be a delay in the Fed raising interest rates, and then, of course, the knock-on effect of that. I think today we've got some numbers out of China, which should also help, because all we're trying to do when we look at these things is put together a picture and kind of see where we're going to get demand or where we're going to find growth. And, of course, we know that even though China's growing at about 6.8%, it's kind of faltering, or it's not really growing anymore, or it's not those double-digit numbers we saw a couple of years ago. And even the question around, is that number real? So the U.S. payrolls number is just another one of those signs. And the fact that it disappointed on Friday, yeah, so it makes people worry. I see Asia's mixed this morning. So I guess we're probably going to open up lower today, especially with the Rand a little bit stronger. It's around 14.83 at the moment. I think what's interesting about what we're going through, Gareth, is that there's very different kind of economic cycles. And one of the things at some stage we must talk about is what sort of investors are we? Because there's generally kind of two types. There's a value or a growth investor. So a value investor is somebody who invests in resources because the shares look so cheap based on their fundamentals. But at the same time, there's no real catalyst to move these shares up. So, you know, you're going to wait for the increased payroll number or the high China growth number before these shares really rally. And we've certainly seen the value investors win at the beginning of this year because,
have been incredible,
They've waited 5 years, though. That's the problem. Whereas the growth stocks like Naspers, which is actually has been expensive on a PE relative basis for years now. Like, who would have thought you'd buy a share that is trading on 100 times PE, price earnings ratio? It's mad.
Incredible.
Because what that means, that what a price earnings means, is that the price you're paying for the share is 100 times more than the earnings the company is making on that share. So in other words, you have to wait 100 years for that share to pay back what you're paying for it. Which seems a bit mad, right?
It is mad.
Well, but the kind of flip side of it is, one, that the markets are always pricing forward. So they're always looking to the future and saying, how is this company able to grow? And with Naspers, it's such a good example of a growth stock because it really has stepped up and it keeps re-rating. And so actually it has delivered that 100 times, it's actually not maybe 100 times, maybe...
close.
Yeah, well, 50 times PE. So if you had bought it, let's say 5 years ago, for example, it's re-rated so much that it actually has delivered, let's call it 50 times the earnings of when you bought it. So the earnings have increased so much that actually it's shortened the time period for your payback. And then some, because the share in 5 years is up 300%.
Right.
So there's this thing of between value and growth. So we have to decide which one we are. I'm definitely a growth investor. Warren Buffett's very much a value investor. But he hasn't always been. He has made some mistakes. So it's a matter of kind of where are you in the cycle? Because there's almost this question of, well, should we be buying resources because the value trigger is about to happen? So I don't think so. I think we can wait a bit longer. I think we'll see it come off. I think we're still very much in the growth phase. And then, of course, there's the momentum play, you know. So as these triggers come into play or the catalysts are happening, you'll see the momentum kick these shares up.
Do you think that we've seen the top of these resources at this stage, or do you think that it's still going
for now?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So in the short term, in the next couple of months, I think – I'm expecting to see resources come off again. And I like to see solid proof that something is happening in the market, that fundamentals have changed.
Right.
And there isn't any. So the U.S. jobs number on Friday, that's, you know, that's not a growth number. The Chinese manufacturing, the U.K. manufacturing last week, those were not growth numbers.
No.
Those are quite the opposite, actually.
Right.
And so there's no real proof. Mm-hmm.
We've got one question and one last thing that we've, and we should have really started with this because this is quite big news. I know for Pravin Gordhan, this has been the most important battle of all. Moody's are going to keep us the same.
Ah, yes. So on Friday evening, after market close, Moody's confirmed that they're keeping our credit rating the same with a negative outlook. So we remain two levels above sub-investment grade.
Right.
But Moody's wasn't the big one, right? So S&P is the one that's got us just above junk status. And they were supposed to, they're supposed to review us in June. So what does it mean that Moody's are keeping our credit rating the same? I think it's positive. Well, it's obviously not bad. it should impact a little bit, or it should give us an indication of whether or not S&P, Standard & Poor's, are going to downgrade us in June.
Okay.
Moody's made mention of two things. Kind of, first of all, they said that the drought and electricity outages they understood were once-off occurrences, and that's that they're kind of giving us a bit of leeway there. So they're saying that's not going to happen again. You'll be fine. They did warn that the downgrade could be triggered if economic growth falters, and if government is unable to implement the changes it promised earlier on in the year. They did also make mention specifically of the Concord decision against Suma and the reinstatement of corruption and fraud charges as positives. Treasury, our Treasury, South African Treasury, were very quick to respond. They released a statement on Saturday saying that government was working hard to ensure all the promises they made by the, in the budget speech and to investors, you know, they did this big roadshow offshore, that they would uphold their promises. So the Rand doesn't obviously trade very much on the weekend. So there was no immediate impact. But this morning at 14.83, I think, you know, on Friday, the Rand was 15.15, which is just unbelievable. A week between 14.12, when I thought it was going to go below 14. A week later, it's trading at 15.15. It's almost mad. So the Rand 14.83 this morning, it's a nice little boost from kind of, I think, payroll numbers, a weaker dollar, and the Moody's credit rating staying the same.
I also noticed our president was at Eskom last week, and he paid a visit to SAA as well, and he said, no more load shedding. We will never, ever have load shedding again.
I saw that, and I thought, oh, I didn't know he was an engineer.
Yeah. I also don't know if you should make promises like that, because it's going to come back to bite you.
Well, exactly.
Rather just say we're working hard on this. Don't promise things like that. You trip yourself up.
Absolutely. So Moody's and Standard & Poor's probably just looked at him shaking their heads going,
oh my
sure,
God. Just whenever he opens his mouth, everything just goes south. Yeah. You know what? It's like the money goes in the opposite direction to President Jacob Zuma's mouth. We've discussed this before. One last thing is a question. This is from Malusi. He says, listening to cliffcentral.com, Anthea, what about the Capitec case? They're being sued. Could losing hurt them? And obviously, could it hurt the share price?
Absolutely, yes. That it's quite a big thing. The implication of Capitec being sued because they're potentially a payday lender. So one, being a payday lender is not in their brief. It's illegal. And secondly, for me, the fundamental issue is kind of look at African banks. So we were worried about African Bank. They collapsed because they made loans that people couldn't repay. Uh-huh. So if Capitec are doing the same, it's a huge issue. I've already looked at this, though, and I don't think Capitec are payday lenders. I don't think kind of that they are charging extraordinary fees. I think potentially there could be one or two cases where it has happened, but Capitec have got fantastic risk systems in place. And so the difference between them and African Bank is really how they provision for these bad debts going forward. And that's kind of the thing that worries me. But I think the Capitec are fine.
All right. That's about it. We've got very little time left of that. So thank you, Anthea. We will see you in the studio next week. We will speak to you tomorrow.
Super. I'll speak to you tomorrow.
Fantastic.
Have a good day.
Fantastic. There we go. Anthea Gardner, The Money Shot, every day around about the same time.
This is CliffCentral.com.